in a series that just is inviting you to ask why questions. Today we have a big question as well. We're going to talk about why am I here. It's a lesson on purpose, and we're glad you're here to be a part of it. We're also glad that they have finally opened Coburn Road. Oh, yeah, that's open. So, and here's okay, that's good news. And for two weekends, we get Coburn and Lakewood Ranch. But on the 13th, sorry, Lakewood Ranch people, now your chance, they're going to do construction on Lakewood Ranch. So you've got it for this weekend and next weekend, and then they'll be working on that road. So we got some good news. Oh, I guess it's all good news. Glad you're a part of it. Hey, next weekend is a big weekend. Yeah, that's a good thing. I heard somebody say why. That's good, because it goes right along with the series. Because mothers. And everyone that is a mother or has a mother should be happy. That's all of us. I'd like all our mothers to get on the phone or however you communicate and, hey, say, come with me. Love you to be at church with me. And if you have a mother, get on whatever way you communicate and say, hey, I'd like you to come and let's be together for Mother's Day, and let's have a great weekend together as we talk about why did God make mothers. We talk about mothers of hope. Today we're talking about purpose. Why am I here? If somebody asked you that question, what's the purpose? What's the purpose for your life? What would be your answer? Some people gave some answers, and some of them are interesting. The first one's kind of circular, so listen to this answer. Richard was asked, what is the purpose for your life? And his answer was, the purpose of life is to live a life of purpose. A little circular there, but that you go, Washington Irving said, I like this, great minds have purpose, little minds have wishes. Interesting. Helen Keller said, true happiness is not attained through self-gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy purpose. Are you living for a worthy purpose? Pastor Rick Warren said, the Bible tells us that Jesus came to do three things. One is to forgive us of our past. Two is to give us purpose for today. And three is to give us a home in heaven. God came to give us purpose for today. Jesus, when he began his teaching ministry, began with a message called the Sermon on the Mount. It's a great message about purpose for life, forgiveness, prayer, worship. He ends the message with an illustration that says, when you live a life of purpose, it's like building your life on a solid foundation. It's going to endure. And if you don't, if you miss out on the purposes that God has for your life, it's like building your life. You're still building. You're just building on the sand. And if you build on the sand, you'll find that life doesn't have purpose. You'll become like a caterpillar, a processionary caterpillar. Do you know about the processionary caterpillars? Do you know what they do? They process. They follow each other. They eat dry pine needles. And they follow each other, just buried into the guy in front of them, in a line, until the leader finds some dry pine needles, and then they all eat. A scientist said, I'm going to try something. I'm going to see what happens when I get processionary caterpillars in a circle. So he lined them in. What do you do? Herd them up? He herded the caterpillars into a circle, and he put pine needles right in the middle, thinking that eventually they would go, this is stupid. All I'm doing is marching every day, day by day, with my nose buried. Thank you for getting that. They never broke rank. For 7 days and seven nights, they went in a circle till they died of exhaustion. Purposeless. And yet that's like a lot of people's lives that are around us. They get up every day. They put their nose to the grind. They work all day so they can come back, get some rest, to get up, and work all day, and they miss out on building a life of meaning. And that's what Jesus comes in the Sermon on the Mount. He ends the sermon with that illustration. Hey, choose to live a life that is built on solid principle, a life of purpose. The way he starts the Sermon on the Mount is very interesting as well. His introduction is Jesus is great. He's good with his introductions. His introduction goes like this. Here's Jesus' introduction. Happy, 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 happy. He makes eight statements of, we call them the Beatitudes. They're blessings, and the word for blessing can be happy or rich or abundant. And so he starts his message. Hey, you would like to have blessing, happiness, richness, abundance? Happy, 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 happy. Are you? No, few people. How about over here? Happy, 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 happy. It's like one for every day of the week and then a bonus one. Eight of them. Happy, 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 happy. Are you? Because if you're just going through the motions, if you're caught in a circle of processionary caterpillar living, if you're building on the sand, Jesus says, I want to give you eight things that will give you purpose in your life. And he does it in the Beatitudes. We're going to look at those eight things that he says you'll find purpose in life. First thing he says to us, if you want to find a life of purpose, you want to build on solid foundation, you want to be increased in your happiness of life and living, you want a more blessed life, he says the first thing you need to realize is you need God. You'll never live a life of purpose until you realize that without God, you are bankrupt. I don't care how much money is in the bank. I don't care what kind of degrees are behind your name. Without God, you are bankrupt. And he says it like this. Blessed, happy, abundant, prosperous are those who are poor in spirit. What does that mean? That means there is a happiness at the moment you realize without God, I'm bankrupt. That you come today and every day of your life and go, I need God. And without him, I'm a mess. This book is the owner's manual. It tells us how to find purpose in life. Now, you can throw it away. You can ignore it. You can not read it. But you do that at your own detriment. I need God. He's my creator. So I want to read his book and learn how life works. I don't want to push it aside. Many of you have an owner's manual for your car or truck or whatever you drive, right? You look at it ever? No, maybe? No? What if you never had driven a car ever? And that's all you had? Maybe you'd read it more. What if you didn't have it? You came out, you opened the glove compartment, and somebody had taken it, and you had no owner's manual. You go, what is this thing for? It's got wheels. Is it a paperweight? It's big. Is it a lawn ornament? What is it? You don't know until you get the manual. What should I put in the gas tank? What kind of fuel? Molasses? You just don't know how to do life. So God gives to us, once we recognize we need it, he gives to us his owner's manual. And we can read it. We can learn from it. We can discover. That's what we should be doing on a regular basis. We all come to the beginning of our days. I would like you to begin your days this way by just saying, man, I need God. I need him. Because until you come to that point, you're in the circle of processionary caterpillars. You have motion, but you're not going anywhere. You're building, but you're on the sand. And Jesus says, that is not a life of happiness. That certainly is not a life of purpose. You've got to first of all realize, I need God. Once you come to that point and you say, okay, God, I need you. I'm signing up. I'm opening my heart. Maybe today I'm going to receive Christ. I'm going to get my life in good relationship with Jesus today for the first time, or maybe for the first time in a long time. And when you sign up for Jesus, it's all sunshine and roses. Now, some people, they say, okay, I'm finally going to, finally I'm going to admit I need God. Maybe I prayed with you on Easter, Scott, and since I prayed on Easter, everything has gone wrong. I just want you to know that when you finally say I need God and you get God's purpose in your life, that you didn't sign up for a cruise liner, you signed up for a battleship. Some people think it's like, oh, a cruise liner. Okay, I got my Hawaiian shirt on, got my shorts on. We're walking down the deck, they're ready, and they get to the end of the deck, and it's not like white cruise liner, it's like gray battleship gray. Because the moment you say, I need God, the moment you invite God into your life, you get involved in the greatest battle that's going on the planet. It's the battle between, ultimate battle between light and dark, good and evil, God and the adversary. And you're involved, and I will tell you, in that battle, my beloved friends, in that battle, there will be some pain. So get this, you want to live a life of purpose? Get this, you've got to be determined to push through the pain. You've got to. He says it like this: blessed, happy, abundant, prosperous are those who mourn, because they're going to be comforted. What was the lesson? What did I talk about last weekend? So encouraging. I'm not going to say how many were here last weekend, I even had told you actually earlier in the message if you were listening. Last week we talked about what happens when bad things happen to good people. Remember? And the character we studied was Job. So encouraging. Remember Job? Job went through pain, right? But he didn't give up. He pushed through the pain. And on the other end of the pain, he received a double portion. So here's the thing. There's going to be, as you live a life of purpose, it's not all sunshine and roses, just so you know that. But you push through the adversity, because I promise you this, on the other side of that issue, that pain, that loss, whatever that is, on the other side of that is a double portion, a quadruple portion, or a bigger portion than you started with. I promise you that. That's life. Now, when you don't have a life of purpose, and you don't get up every day, that's my purpose. It's what I'm living for. It's what I'm going. That's what it is. Please God. Live for God in this world. When you don't live a life of purpose, when you hit pain, you go, whoa, okay, I'm not going anymore. Some people are not sitting here today because they had some pain this last week. Thank you very much. You showed up, you had some pain, and you're still here. Okay, give your friend, just compliment your friend beside you anyway. Say, hey, you did good. That's it, you did good. Because a life of purpose just doesn't give up. You push through the pain. The third thing is, you realize, if you're going to have a life of purpose, get this, it's not about you. Try over here. If you want a life of purpose, it's not about you. It's not. Jesus is teaching us, build a life that is going to be on solid principle. It's going to endure the storm. It's going to be a life of purpose. And here's what he teaches us. Give your life for others. That's a life of purpose. He says it like this. He said, I want to tell you that happy people, blessed people, abundant people are meek people. And meek people are not weak people. Meek people have incredible power, but they choose to use their power for the betterment of others. In the Hebrew Scriptures, all those 39 books, the Hebrew Scriptures, in all of those characters, do you know who was the meekest of all of those characters, all of the ones that are back there? You know who the meekest one was? Do you know who the meekest one was in the 27 books called the New Testament? Do you know who the meekest character was in that section? Some of you think maybe Jesus, that's right. Meekest. In the Hebrew scriptures, the Bible tells us, the verse tells us that Moses was the meekest man who lived on the earth, which is interesting because Moses wrote that verse. Under the inspiration of the Spirit, I'm sure. Moses had power. Moses was in charge of millions of people. He spoke for God. And he prays a prayer one day. God, take my life if it will benefit these people. That's meekness. Meekness has power, meekness has rights, but meekness surrenders power and surrenders rights for the betterment of others. And isn't that what Jesus did? When Jesus went to the cross, he was divinity in human flesh. He could have at any moment said, I'm not going to stay, I'm not going to pay. Angels of heaven, come and assist me. And they stood ready to answer that prayer, and they would have come, and the Romans wouldn't have had a chance. He had incredible power. More power than anyone that ever walked the earth. But he surrendered that power for the benefit of humanity. That's meekness. So whatever power you have, whatever title you have, whatever position you have, to walk in God's purpose is to take that power, that position, that title, whatever it is, and surrender it to the betterment of others. This helps us to live in the purposes of God. Blessed are the meek. They have power and they know it, but they choose to use it for the betterment of others. Number four, he tells us that when we are truly living a life of purpose, we're hungry. We're hungry for more. Are there any people in the house and God has been good to you, God has blessed you? Okay, so that's good, that's good, I'm glad, that's good. But just let me tell you, there's so much more. There's just more, there's more. Okay, of all of the stuff that God has done, of all of it, all the blessings, God has more in store for you in the future than he has done in the past. So a life of purpose wakes up every morning and goes, there's more. Here's what Jesus says, blessed, happy, abundant are those who are hungry. Are you hungry? Do you have a hunger in your belly? Blessed are those who are thirsty because there's so much more for righteousness. You're hungry, you're thirsty because there is so much more. Thank God you're not what you used to be. And you're not what you're going to be. But are you hungry? A life of purpose is focused on growth, godliness, every day becoming more like Jesus. Every day. I'm hungry for that. I'm more like Jesus than I used to be. Not one amen in the house, but I still believe that anyway. I just give it as a factual thing. I believe it. That is my dad. He knew me when I was young, so that's okay. Oh, there's some stories. We can't go there right now, but there's still more. I'm not there yet. Stuff I got to learn. There's stuff I got to grow in. I've got to get up every day. I got to keep my focus because there's more. I've got to be hungry. I've got to be thirsty. And a life of purpose gets up every day and says, there is so much more. Number five, life of purpose sees and meets needs. A life of purpose just doesn't look at people. A life of purpose sees people. There's a difference. You can look at the people around you. Maybe you did that when you had greeting time. You looked at them, but did you see them? To see a person is to see the need. You can look at people as you walk by them in the mall. You can look at them, but to see them is to see the human need. You can drive on your street. You can look at your neighbors. You can wave at your neighbors. But to see them is to see the human need. Jesus says, blessed, happy, abundant, prosperous are those who are merciful. Mercy doesn't just look at people. Mercy sees people. Mercy sees the need. Mercy sees if you are in God's family or outside of God's family. And if you're outside of God's family, mercy does something in your heart. The Apostle Paul was very happy that there were people in Jerusalem that loved God. But he looked out on the horizon and said, man, there's some people out there in Pergamos and Ephesus and Antioch. Man, we got to do more. We've got to do more. We've got to get outside ourselves. We've got to see the needs. And that was his generation. And in his generation, he took the gospel to his generation. And his generation is gone. We are now in our generation. This is our opportunity. This is our time on the planet. And we have to say, oh God, we don't just look at the world, we see the world. We don't just look at our culture, we see our culture. And we say, God, help us. And we don't curse the darkness. We say, blessed are the merciful, because they're going to do something. When Jesus sat at the Last Supper, he didn't just look at his disciples, he saw them. He saw their pride and their arrogance because they all were there with their dirty feet and nobody would do anything about it. He didn't just look at the situation. He saw it. And the mercy in his heart said, let me give me the towel. Give me the water. I'm going to do something about it. I see the need because I'm just not looking at the need. I see it. And there's something in our heart. When we see the need in India, did you look at it or did you see it? When we hear about what took place in Sri Lanka, do we look at it or do we see it? When we hear the news of Burkina Faso, our sister church there, do you just look at the need or you see it? Does it do something in your heart? Is there mercy in your heart? And is there enough mercy in your heart that you see and it moves you to action? That's mercy. And that focuses life. Even when people are difficult. Ananias, God bless him, he was in the book. He got up for his morning devotions one morning, and he's praying, and Jesus speaks to him and says, I want you to go to a street called Straight. Well, what's going on there? There's a guy there named Saul. Saul? I heard he was coming to our town. I heard he was coming to persecute the Christians. Well, he's on a street called Straight, and I want you to go see him. No way! He's been known to participate in the murder of Christians. And I'm a Christian. I want you to go see him. I don't want you to just look at him. I want you to see him. Because he's been a prideful, religious man, and he's in a broken state right now, and he's blind. He's not just physically blind, he's spiritually blind. He's had an encounter, and he needs someone to help him. And I want you to go, Ananias, and I want you to reach him, and I want you to be motivated by mercy. I want you to lay hands on him, and I want you to recover it, see his sight recovered. Was Saul a hard case? Absolutely. But just don't look at hard cases, see them. And the life of purpose is motivated to do something. And that's what he says. So what number are we on? Six. A life of purpose, number six, has a clear focus. A clear focus. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, because they're going to see God. They're pure in their heart. They're not muddied. Do you ever look at a stream or a lake that is crystal clear and you can see all the way to the bottom? You can see things clearly. That's pure water. Do you ever see a stream or a lake where there's a lot of sediment in the water? The waters are muddied and you look and you go, I can't see anything. Have you ever seen an aquarium that hasn't been well kept? And you're looking at the glass going, any fish in there? It's not clear. Let me tell you about a pure heart. A pure heart clarifies issues. A muddied heart. See, it's not just about loving God, which you do. You're here. You came on the week. There's a love for God in your heart, but you may love a lot of other things. That muddies your heart and takes focus away. And Jesus said, you got to have a pure heart, because a pure heart clarifies your purpose. Instead of being muddied up by a lot of things. Remember Mary and Martha? Remember Mary and Martha? Jesus went to their house and Martha was in the kitchen, sorry. Mary was at the feet of Jesus. And Martha's like, and she's complaining about her sister. And she complained about her sister. She complained about her sister. And she comes in to complain, and then Jesus says, oh, no, let me teach you something, very important lesson. Martha, 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 you are worried about many things. And there's only a few things that are important. So has your life been muddied by many things? Or have you narrowed it down to the few things, the purpose of you? Do you know the purpose of your life? And don't let other people muddy your waters with the many things. Here's a verse. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. They cast off restraint. They go in many directions. A pure heart clarifies vision so you can clearly see your purpose. And let me give you some good news. If you came in with a cluttered heart today, the master of heart renovations is in the house. Jesus is alive. I know that for sure. I talked to him this morning. And he will purify your heart and clarify the issues. And so he wants to give you clear vision. Number 7, a person of purpose is a person of peace. They're a peacemaker. They make peace. Because the adversary will try to distract you with controversy and fighting and fussing and fuming. And he'd like to get your eyes on this problem and these people that are gossiping about this issue, and a real person of focus lets that go and makes peace. They don't listen to this crowd over here. If you are raising teenage girls, you need to listen carefully. Because you want your daughters to be daughters of destiny. Purpose. And conflict distracts you from purpose. You stop being a peacemaker when you come down and get involved in this conflict. Oh, let me be part of it too. What are you saying? What do you say? Oh, it's amazing. Oh, it's incredible. I can't believe they said that. And you did that? Oh, my goodness. Let's open. Stop it! A peacemaker says, I'm not getting down here. I'm staying up here. Grace and peace to you. I don't know what that's all about. But I tell you what, sisters, you're all off purpose. It's not the purpose of God that we would talk badly about people behind their backs. Well, I'm preaching now. I'm preaching now. And it's not just teenage girls. Oh, I heard this was going on. What they said that. I saw this on the internet. Oh, that Facebook. People of purpose live higher and live beyond. I'm just going, peace be still. I'm not going to get involved in that conversation. Peace, peace. I'm living in unity with as much people as I can. I love the blessing of Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is when God's people are in unity. It brings the anointing of the Holy Spirit that flows over the whole body, and God commands his blessing. And I want to live under the commanded blessing of God. And not over here, whatever these people are saying, and not over here, whatever these people are saying. I'm a peace. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about Jesus. There's a concept. Let's pray. Let's stop fussing about whatever this fight is about. This will help marriages and homes. Because conflict in your home distracts you from your purpose. Your ultimate purpose of life. Peace in your home. Shalom in the home promotes purpose, builds a life on salt. So just be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. And then number 8, the last thing, he just says, people of purpose don't let anything stop them. They know what their life is. They've narrowed the many things down to a few things, and they are going to be committed to living that life of purpose. And let me tell you, when you start living a life of purpose, when you start doing things for God, you're going to be criticized. The processionary caterpillars don't criticize each other. They're all just marching in a circle. This must be the way life is. This must be the way life is. Till they fall over dead. But when you break away from the pack, when you start living a life of purpose, people are going to criticize you. There's going to be stuff. But here's what Jesus says. Hey, just when that happens, just be aware, blessed, happy, abundant are you when people persecute you because you're doing the right thing. There's a blessing. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. You're doing the right thing and people misunderstand it. And they're talking about over here and we don't like what you're doing over there and we don't like the way Church of Hope does this and the way they did that, we don't like that. And they don't like the lures we use to fish for people who are far away from God. They don't have any lures in the water themselves, but they criticize ours. I love the Bible character Nehemiah. Nehemiah knows his purpose. He's given a purpose by God is to make the walls that surround the holy city. And he's up there working on the walls around the holy city. And these two voices, Sambela and Tobiah, come by. And they're down at the bottom. Hey, you don't know what you're doing. Your wall is crooked. You'll never get this finished on time. What you're doing is a waste of time. Why don't you come down off the wall and we'll like straighten you out, man? I love his answer. You can read about Nehemiah chapter 6. I love what he says. I am too busy doing a good work up here on the wall to come down with you guys. That's the answer you need to give. People that persecute, the people that complain, I'm just too busy doing the purposes of God to get down there where you guys are. I got to stay on task. Nothing is going to stop me from building my wall. I didn't mean that in any kind of political way at all. I'm just sorry. Nothing. Stop that. Your godly purpose. Lord, help my mind. There's a purpose for your life. And there will be voices that say, hey, come down. You're not doing it right. Your life. And a godly person knows this is the purpose of my life and I will not be distracted. I know the few things I'm supposed to do. And you'll notice in the message, I haven't told you like what God's exact plan is for your life because it's individual to you. I've given you the principles. It'll be always about giving to others. It'll always be seeing needs and meeting them. It'll always be about having a pure heart. But your calling, your purpose is as individual as your fingerprint. Don't let it be scattered by many things. Know the things that God has called you to do and do it with strength and don't let anyone pull you off task. Don't let them get involved in conversations over here or over here. Be a peacemaker, live above the fray and say, I am going to finish what God puts on my life to accomplish in Jesus' name and to the glory of God. Amen. Let's stand for prayer, please. So let's listen to the most important voice in the room, not my voice, the voice of the Spirit of God. Let's welcome him to do his work as we pause, Lord, to invite you into our heart, into our lives, to do the transformation that you can do. Holy Spirit, you are most welcome in this room to transform us, to bring us on purpose. To build our life on the solid rock rather than the shifting sands that are going to end up with no purpose anyway, just fall over. Our prayer is, God, that you would be central. If our hearts need to be purified today, we pause to welcome your purifying presence. some for the first time and some for the first time in a long time. But Lord, do your work and clarify the issues of our heart, purify our heart, God. And we're going to invite the presence of Christ, the person of Christ, to come into our hearts. We're going to do it together as a family. And we're going to lift our voice because the Bible says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So we believe in our heart in Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, and we invite him as the heart purifier to come in, clarify issues, speak to us about our destiny, our purpose, and not be distracted by what other people are saying or doing or making commentary on, but we're going to stay about our Father's business. So here's our prayer. Let's pray together. Just lift your voice with everyone around you and say, Dear God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I open my heart, my soul, my life to Jesus Christ. I repent of my sins. And I invite you to come into me to purify my heart. I receive your grace, your love, your forgiveness, your mercy. Now give purpose to my days. Help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. To the glory of God we pray. And everybody says, Amen. So our prayer team is going to come. I'd like them to be here now, if they would, please, so that we can pray with you and for you, for the spiritual things that are going on in your life. The Bible says whenever two or three people pray, purpose is fulfilled. The miraculous takes place. So we'd like to welcome you in these next moments, because this is a house of prayer, not just a house of worship or teaching. It's a house of prayer. We're going to pray. While prayer is being ministered to, if you would like to receive communion, there's communion on the left-hand side and the right-hand side. Come receive the bread of the Lord and the cup of the Lord. If you've been a guest with us today, thanks so much for coming. Hope you take some time after this service. We're just going to have a time of fellowship and hanging out there. Love that you do be a part of that. But let me pray this blessing and then invite you to come and receive prayer, whatever the needs are in your life. And let me bless you guys. If you're a guest, make sure you stop by the VIP room. Make sure you come out and be with us on the patio. So here's our prayer. Lord, I pray you will bless these people, the sons and daughters. I pray that we would live a life of purpose, a life that says, I want to see my need of God, and I want to see the needs of others. Reveal both of those things to us. Give us the strength to persevere, to push through pain, not be distracted by what other people say, to just keep on keeping on. I pray that you'll be guided by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I bless you in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, you are abundantly blessed. And all of God's people say together, Amen. Let's give the Lord just an ovation of praise. Good to be in his house. Come forward, please. Come forward for prayer. Come forward for communion. And a worship team is going to lead us. Those that are going to hang around, we're going to have some fellowship out on the patio. God bless you.